talking about. Thank you. Are y'all excited to be here? I can't even tell you how excited I am to be here. And it is such, I don't have the right words to tell you what a privilege it is to be here with you for the third time in 2 years. That I just thank y'all. I thank you for giving me that privilege to come and talk to you one more time about Jesus Christ. I want to open us in prayer to just get us started. Lord Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I just thank you that it is you that's going to speak tonight and it's not me. And I thank you that you do have words to speak to us and it is not up to us to try and figure out what that is, that it is so clear through your Spirit, through your Word. Father, I thank you for what you have given me to share, and I just give you permission to change any of it or all of it. Father, I want you to speak to the hearts of these women tonight. I do not want anyone to remember what Debbie says, and I want every woman in this room to go away remembering that she spoke with the Maker of the universe this weekend. And Father, so it is with great confidence that I ask you that your Spirit would open the heart of every woman here to hear words of life, words of truth, that every single woman here would run to you, would long to communicate with you, Lord. And I can't do that, but I know you can. And so I thank you in advance for doing that. And I just ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. This summer, my little grandson, Brandon, who's 3 and a half, he came to visit us. And he is too cute. If any of you have little girls that are a little bit younger than that, you need to keep my number because you will probably want your little daughter to meet my cute little grandson in a few years because he is just darling. And he and I were sitting on the front porch in the rocking chair, and we were waiting on his parents to arrive. And he won't sit still. You know, 1 second is too long for him to sit still. And so he was sitting there for a second, and I was trying to hold him longer, and we were rocking a little bit. And I said, Brandon, I call him Brandini, actually. I said, Brandini, you know what? I said, I cannot wait until you're a little older. I'm thinking maybe 6 or 7. And then, you know what Nanny's going to do then, darling? I said, we're going to sit in this rocking chair together, and I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I said, because I love Jesus. I said, he is the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me. And I said, years ago, I asked Jesus into my heart. And my greatest prayer is that you would ask Jesus into your heart someday. What do you think about that? Well, I don't know what he thought that I said. So suddenly he does this. He looks up in the sky and he said, Jesus, my nanny wants you to come live in her. Jesus, is that a yes or is that a no? Is that the cutest thing? He really did that. I was just thinking, wonder what he thought I was asking, or I don't know what he thought I was asking. But what struck me about that is he honestly believed that he was talking to Jesus. And he was waiting for a response. I love that part. Is that a yes or is that a no? I love that. And that's the way you and I ought to be. That is the way that you and I ought to be. I'm kind of asking the Lord that you would go back to be 3 years old again in your heart this weekend. I want you to be expectant for Jesus to show up, not expectant for me to be a fabulous speaker. I hope God does that, but it doesn't really matter. I want him to speak to your heart this weekend. That has been my fervent, fervent prayer. We're here to talk about prayer. What is prayer? Ladies, it is your privilege to connect with the God of the universe. Your privilege to connect to the God of the universe. It's communication. Prayer is nothing more than communication. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. It's a dialogue, not a monologue. In prayer, you talk and God talks. And that's what I'm hoping this weekend that you experience. I hesitate to use the word experience because I think it conjures up, at least for me anyway, some mystical experience. And that's not what I'm asking the Lord for because it isn't mystical. It is real when the God of the universe speaks to your heart. If you have his Spirit, you can expect that. And so that is what my prayer is, that we will learn how to communicate with the God of the universe. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence that we have before him. Whenever we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Have you ever felt like maybe God didn't hear you? Have you ever felt like when he was passing out his private telephone number, you were not one that he passed it out to? Have you ever felt like that maybe you did get his number, but that perhaps he has caller ID, and when you call, he doesn't answer? That is my prayer, is that you will feel that you can connect with God. And let me just tell you, there is a secret. And it's right here in this verse. Whenever you pray according to my will, what did I just say? My will. Whenever you pray according to his will, he will hear you. He will hear you. What is his will? Some of us think that's mystical. What is his will? I don't know. I'll tell you what it is. It's very simple. It's right here, the Word of God. A to Z, it's right here. It's the Word of God. Do you want to know what the will of God is? It's the Word of God. He's made it very, very clear to us. And so if we pray according to his will, he is going to hear us. Do you hear what I'm saying? The God of the universe will hear you and will answer you. Ladies, that is powerful. And so what we're going to do, I had about a million different ways to communicate prayer to you. And I prayed over all of them. The first thing that came to mind was a how-to. I'll tell you how to pray. I'll give you tips and techniques, and we will talk about some of that. But do you know what kept coming to my mind? Is that no one in this room, not one of you in this room, wants to communicate with anybody that you don't like. That is not normal. You don't like to communicate with people that you don't like. You don't even want to have eye contact with them. And so really what I want to do tonight is have you love, fall in love with God. That's a big task. I don't want to tell you how to talk to him, because my feeling on that is if I tell you how to talk to him and you don't love him and you don't even like him and you certainly don't know him, you're not going to want to talk to him anyway. So all the tips in the universe aren't going to help you with that. So my task tonight, my prayer tonight, my goal tonight, my passion tonight is that you will leave here so drawn to Jesus Christ that you can't help but fall on your knees. That's a big task, and I can't accomplish that, but the Holy Spirit can. That's what I'm praying for. So here's how I want to approach tonight. I want to talk about the two of us, God and you and I. Who is God, and what is his purpose? And who are we, and what is our purpose? So let's start with us. Who are we? Ladies, we are nothing more than creatures. Colossians 1:16 says, all things, what did I just say? All things. Who has heard me talk about the word all before? Raise your hand. If you have all the apples in the world, is there one more apple that you could get? You would have how many of them? All. Oh, come on, now say it like you mean it. All. Thank you very much. Of the apples, you would have all of them. All things. Think about this for a minute. All things are created by him, and all things are created, very important word, for him. Ladies, you and I are nothing more than creatures, created beings by God, the God of the universe. And we were created for a special purpose, for him. Do you know what that means in simple language? You may have heard me say this before. It's not about you. It's not about you. You can sum up this retreat. In fact, you can sum up your whole life in that statement. It is not about me. Would you say that with me? It is not about me. Oh, I love that. Let's do that one more time.
It is not about me.
I love that. If you get that, if that is the only thing you go away with tonight, with the only thing that you go away with on Sunday, it will change your life if you realize that your life is not about you. It isn't. It isn't about you. It isn't for you. It is for God. Not only are we creatures, ladies, we are sinful creatures. Romans 3:23, this is one of my favorite words, the word all. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many have sinned?
All.
You are a sinful creature. You are a sinful creature. You know what sin is? It's living for your purposes and not God's. It's pretty simple. It's living for your purposes and not for God's. It also says in Ephesians 2:12, we were without hope, without the Messiah. We were with no hope and without God in the world. I think that is powerful. No hope. Do you feel like you have no hope? So many in this room feel that way because you think it's all up to you, and it is not. It is not. It is not. We are sinful creatures without hope and without God in the world. And what is our will? It's to get what we want when we want it. What we want when we want it. That is our purpose. That drives you every single day to get what you want when you want it. It drives a 3-year-old, and it drives you and I. We just think we're more mature, and our bills are much more expensive at Talbot's and all of that to accomplish what we want. Who is God? He's the creator of most things. How many? All things. I'm going to trip y'all up. Y'all know how I like to do that. He's the creator of all things. Colossians 1:16 says all things are created by him and for him. Ladies, he could be just a devious creator, sort of a mad scientist creator, sort of a I'm going to create a Frankenstein kind of creator. But he's not. That isn't what he is. He's a loving creator. 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. He is love. I'm sure you've heard that before, and I'm asking that you hear that with new ears. God is love. And what is his purpose? His purpose, now listen to this, is to be in a personal, loving, inseparable relationship with us. Personal, loving, inseparable relationship with us. Isn't that what you want from the love of your life? Isn't that what you're seeking and have sought most of your life since you were a young teenager probably, or maybe earlier? You wanted a personal, loving, inseparable relationship. That is God's purpose for us. There's a reason you want that. God put that desire in you. Ladies, his will, simply put, is to love us. And he showed that first off with Adam and Eve. He created them. And he didn't just create them kind of like in an aquarium and observe them from a distance, looking down, going, wonder what they're doing today. Look at that, knocking on the glass. Hello? He didn't do that. He created them, and then he would walk in the cool of the evening with them in the garden. That is personal, that is loving, that is inseparable. Do you get that picture? And then Eve ate the forbidden fruit, and that inseparable personal relationship deteriorated. It separated them from God. God cannot have a personal, loving, inseparable relationship with sinners. It's not possible. And so he went about to fix that problem. He wanted to put that relationship back together again because he doesn't just say he loves us. He shows us that he loves us. He puts his money where his mouth is. He doesn't just talk the talk. He walked the walk all the way to Calvary. All the way to Calvary. Romans 5:8 says, God proves his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. Ladies, we are worthy of death as sinners. We are worthy of being separated from God for all eternity because of our sin. And that wasn't good enough for God. And so he died in our place. He died in our place. 1 John 3:1. It says, look at how great a love the Father has given us. That we should be called the children of God. I want you to look at that. My little grandson, Brandon, he can't say his L's. He says W's. So a lizard is a wizard, and a lion is a lion, and a leopard is a leopard. So while we were in Colorado one day, he was walking around with binoculars on his neck. Let me see if I can do this. And I couldn't wait to hear what he would call them because I didn't know how he would pronounce binocular or if he even knew that that was the name of them. So I said, hey, Brandini, what have you got around your neck? And he said, these are my wookers. These are my wookers, Nanny. His wookers. I just love that he didn't know what binocular was, but he could sure see better with them, so they must be lookers. He was looking at stuff, so they were his lookers. Isn't that darling? I want you to put your lookers on. I'm serious. I want you to take God that's maybe been distant, far away, and I want you to get your lookers. And I want you to look at him this week and listen to what I'm saying. You've probably heard this a million times. Or maybe you haven't, I don't know. God loves you. Do you hear that? He loves you. And he wants you to love him back. He wants you to love him back, and you're going to need your lookers on to see that. 1 John 4:8 says, look at how great a love the Father is that we would be called children of God. Ladies, he didn't say the creatures of the Creator, the children of God. Do you realize what that's saying? He wants to be your father. He wants to be your father, your daddy. He is eternally, that word is making himself eternally committed to your welfare, to provide for you, to take care of you. How many of you are silly enough to think that you raising your children, all of those responsibilities will end when they are about 18? You don't have to raise your hand. I will tell you that you are wrong. It never ends. Any of us older women want to raise your hand and say, it never ends. It never, ever ends. You are always on your knees praying for them. You are always thinking about them. Some of us are always paying for things for them. It never ends. Think about what God is saying. Please think about what God is saying. I want to be your father. Not just a creator, not someone distant, not someone far away. I don't want to put you in an aquarium. I want to take care of you forever. Not till you're 18, not till you're 22, not till you get married. I want to be eternally committed to you. Ladies, that is powerful. That is why we should want to pray. And he did all of that because he loves us. All of that because he loves us. The reason he didn't want Eve to eat the forbidden fruit was not so that he could ruin her day or make her miserable or take something that was delightful to her. He did not want her to end the inseparable, personal, loving relationship that he had planned. And he knew that's what that fruit would do. He isn't a cosmic killjoy. He is the Father that loves you, that has always loved you. And he wants a personal, loving, inseparable relationship with you. God's will is to love us. And what is our purpose? What is our real purpose for being created? It's to love him back. It is to love him back, to glorify him. It's simply to love him back. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. Matthew 22:37, Jesus said, Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with a lot of your heart and a little bit, how much? All of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind. Ladies, we have the power, God gave it to us, to love him back with all of our heart and soul and mind. Now, here's where I really have a hard time. I ache, I yearn, I have prayed, I have cried, I have written and I have rewritten so that I could come up with words so that you could understand the love of God. And I'm not that powerful. Prophets all down through the ages have done the same thing. Written, and this is filled with it. People writing from the Spirit of God about the love of God. It's all in here. And I'm not anyone different, but I am yearning with every fiber of my being for you to understand and comprehend the love of God because it is life-changing. I would give anything to have words from the heavenlies to share with you so that you would grasp his love. And if you did that, you would be on your knees, on your face, because you would just be overwhelmed, not with me as a good speaker, but with the maker of the universe in love with you. That's amazing. Paul prayed that prayer, Ephesians 3:14-21. He said, I pray that you would come to know, and I'm praying for you, I pray that you would come to know with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of Christ's own love, and experience that love that passes all understanding, so that you, each one of you, would be filled to all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do more than you ever asked for or imagined, to him be glory. Lord, ladies, do you get what I'm saying? God loves you. He loves you so much, and he is able to do more than you ever asked for or imagined. Do you ever ask him for anything more than just a good day and God bless me? Do you realize what potential, what access, what privilege we have to go to the maker of the universe who will do more than we ever asked for or imagined? I don't have the words to wake you up. I'm just begging that God would open your hearts to grasp how much he loves you. I'm begging him to do that this evening, this night, for you to understand that. He's your father. He's your loving father. His purpose in creating you was so that you would love him back. His purpose is to be in a personal, secure, inseparable, loving relationship with you. And all he wants from you is to love him back. Yet with all of his proof, all of his demonstration, we just disregard prayer. We do it, you know, if we have time, or if we don't, it just doesn't matter. And when we do come to him in prayer, you know how most of us go? Kind of like to the Jack in the Box. We kind of think of God as God in the box. We don't want a relationship. We just want to go through the drive-thru and ask for what we want, when we want it, quick, fast, and in a hurry, please. I don't want that woman or that man on the other end of that line when I go through Jack in the Box to start up a conversation with me. I just want my hamburger. Actually, I like their tacos. But, you know, you get the point. You don't want a relationship with those people. You want your food from those people. Some of us treat God like that. God, hello, give me what I want. Hello, can you hear me? I want it. I need it now. And then when he doesn't satisfy your yearnings, you just give up. He doesn't hear prayer. He didn't listen to me when I ask him. That is because you are not praying according to the will of God. Anybody ever read that little story to their children? The little red hen went to the dog, and I don't know who all she went to, but the little cat and the dog and all those other, you know, who will help me bake this bread, and who will help me pick the wheat, and who will help me grind the wheat and all that? And they would go, not I, said the dog. See, we do that to God. Who will help me divorce my husband so I'll be happy? Not I, said God. Then I'll do it myself, said the little woman. Who will help me gossip about my best friend? Not I, said God. Then I'll do it myself. Who will bless me with everything that I deserve and everything I've ever longed for? Not I, said God. Then I'll do it myself. We have this ridiculous attitude, and that is my prayer. That is my hope, that we see who we really are, ladies. We're just creatures. And our sole purpose is to love God every second of every minute of every hour of every day. And prayer is our connection to him. How many of you are successful? Don't raise your hands. How many of you are successfully living your lives? How many? I already know what the answer is, which is why I don't need your hand raised. It's not working well for you. You can't manage your life. Do you think that's an accident, that everyone struggles? It's not. God doesn't let things work out perfectly for you so that you will be drawn to him in dependence, in need, realizing, I can't make it through this day. I can't speak this message. I can't handle my marriage. I can't even pray without your helping me to pray, dear God. Do you get it, ladies? That's what prayer is for. It's to keep us dependent on him, to connect with him, to be energized with him, to realize that there's a purpose greater than ourselves. And a power greater than ourselves. So how can we pray according to God's will? How do we pray according to God's will? Because that is a magic word. If you pray according to my will, I'll hear you. So how do you do that? Ladies, we're going to talk more about that tomorrow night. But let me say, ladies, his will is nothing more than his word. Do you want real power? Do you want real peace in your life? Ladies, it will come through the word of God. I cannot say that enough. If you want to connect to the maker of the universe, it will come through his word. Some of you already know who I am. You've heard my testimony, and I won't bore you. But I want to just tell you a little tiny bit about myself. Ladies, for those of you that don't know, I am the weakest of the weak, the most insecure, despicable woman you may have ever met. I truly am. I've been married 3 times. I'm the only child of 2 alcoholic parents. You can't get more insecure than I was. You know those weird women that are always desperate and just, please love me, please like me. And you're just like, would you please leave me alone? That was me. And you know those desperate women that always flirt with your husband? That was me. That was me. It's not funny. It's really kind of sick. But that was me, ladies. Because I was desperate. And I met Jesus Christ when I was going to kill myself one night, when I was almost 31 years old. And he saved me, and he set me free. And do you know what has changed me? I never had a mentor, never had a mentor. I have never in my life had a woman ever call me and ask me how I was doing and how my walk with the Lord was, and could she help me? We're all afraid to do that, and don't be. Women need that. We are desperately seeking help. You reach out to other women if you see them struggling. Don't think, well, if she needed me, she would ask me. No, we don't know any better, those of us that are that weak. We don't know to even ask. No one called me. And do you know what I had the audacity to do? I had the audacity to pick up this word, and no one had ever taught it to me. And I would say it's ignorant, but no, it wasn't. It was God-given knowledge. Looking back, I know that now. I picked this up and honestly thought that what I read here applied to me. That is how God changed me. I can't tell you enough how God changed me. I used to smoke 2 to 3 packs of cigarettes a day. My most favorite place in the universe was a bar. That's the truth. And God changed me through prayer, not through a mentor, not with a teacher, through prayer. I picked up the word and I read it, and I would see things that I did not have, and I would ask him for them. And he changed me. And I'm not your standard. I'm not saying, and you too need to be like me. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying this. God has something wonderful for you, more than you ever asked for or imagined. And he wants to communicate with you. And he wants to give you everything that's according to his will. Everything. Everything. And we take it so for granted. So for granted. So what is prayer? Ladies, it's nothing more than communicating with your maker. It's a dialogue. It is not a monologue. It's not, dear God, please bless my family, my husband, my children. Please keep my car running and fill my bank account. Goodbye. That's not it. That's not prayer, ladies. That's just babble. Ladies, prayer is communication. Would you consider yourself in a great relationship with your husband if he left every morning saying, listen, I want a steak for dinner tonight, and I'd like the sheets changed and clean, please, and you need to go pick up the laundry for me, and okay, goodbye. That's kind of the way we treat prayer. Jip, jip, zip, zip. You wouldn't like a relationship if that's all you ever had with your husband. There wouldn't be much to that, would there? Ladies, God wants to communicate with you. He wants to tell you things. He wants to hear what's on your heart. It's a relationship. I didn't check these numbers out before I left, but I want to give you some numbers, and they may not be right. They may be off a little bit, but they're so phenomenal that I don't think it really matters. Let me give you some examples. Anybody know what a light year is? I think it's 184,000 miles a second. 186,000, thank you so much. 186,000 miles a second. So what that is saying is, if something is 2 light years away, okay, and if you could flap your arms at the speed of 186,000 miles a second, that in 2 years' time you would be to wherever that source was. Are you getting me? Could anybody do that? How about 184 miles an hour? I mean, that's phenomenal. I don't get that. Do you get that? Because I don't get that. And this is the figure that I really don't understand, and I don't know, and if you do, I'd love for you to tell it with me. I heard somebody say that they thought the end of the universe, of course that's ridiculous because we don't know where it is, but in this person's mind, they said, I think the end of the universe might be, by calculation, 26 million light years away or something. It doesn't matter. 1 million, 26 million, 100, it doesn't matter because it's beyond my grasp of understanding. So let's say it is 26 million miles away. And if you could flap your little arms 186,000 miles a second in 100 million years or whatever that figure is, you could be at the end of the universe. I mean, are you? I'm 53 years old. That would be me flapping my little arms for the last 53 years, and I've still got 955,000 more to. I mean, you know, that's impossible to figure out, right? You're with me on that. I'm sure you are. You want me to stop now, right? Okay, so let's just say God's at the end of the universe. Let's just say that's where heaven is, for fun. That's impossible to think I could get there. But listen, dear God, and he hears me. Are you with me? We have scientists sending spaceships to I don't even know where. Don't know how they work. But I can pray to the God of the universe who is in me. I do know that. But heaven exists somewhere that I don't quite know where. And yet at one whisper, one word, he hears me. Ladies, do you realize how phenomenal that is? All the scientists in the universe couldn't tell you how that happens and how he hears you out of billions of other people that may also be calling his name. But he does. That is phenomenal. And we don't run to him. We don't seek that out every second of every minute of every hour of every day. We are ridiculous. We're really ridiculous. Imagine for a minute that I am in ministry. In fact, I do have a nonprofit ministry. So let's just say that I needed to raise money because I'm going to go tell people in the Ukraine about Jesus Christ. Let's just say that. Let's just say I needed $1 million to do that. And let's just say that Gail called me one day and I'm saying, Gail, really pray for me because I am needing $1 million to do this and I don't know how I'm going to do it. And guess what Gail says? You know what? You're not going to believe this. I've never even told you this. But Ross Perot is he's a family friend. Everybody know who that is? He has billions, doesn't he? Or is it Bill Gates? Anyway, I don't care because that's another phenomenal figure. I don't understand that kind of money. I have $100, I think, maybe. But anyway, let's just say, she said, you're not going to believe this. I was talking to Ross yesterday, and he said, listen, Gail, keep your eyes open in the church things because I'm looking to donate $1 million to people. And so if you hear of a good ministry, please let me know. Now, if she said to me, Debbie, listen, I know. I mean, I can come tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning. Do you think I would miss that opportunity? Do you think for one second I would miss that opportunity? Because why? I know who Ross Perot is. My question is, do you know who God is? Do you know? Do you know that he waits day after day, moment after moment, second after second, waiting for you, his precious daughter, to come to him and say, Daddy, I need you. Because he has everything you need. The problem is, you don't know you need it. The problem is you are more concerned with your purposes and your life, and so you blow off prayer. It'd be like me blowing off a telephone appointment. I would be stupid. And ladies, well, I won't say that you're stupid. So how do we pray? Ladies, first of all, I'm just going to give you a few little things because here is how I honestly believe. If you are grasping one tiny shred of truth tonight that God loves you, you will want to leave here and get on your knees and pray to him. I don't think you're going to need much how-to. How many of you need a seminar on how to talk to your very best friend? You talk to that woman anytime, anywhere, any place, any day. It doesn't matter. You don't need a seminar. And that's what I want for you to feel about Jesus Christ. We don't need the how-to because we love him. It just is natural. But I'm going to give you a few tips. First of all, would you just be honest? Don't try to do these silly word things with the Lord and say, oh, dear God, I so want to adore you, when really you don't. Just, you know, be honest. Say, Lord, you know what? This is the last thing I want to do. I've got baseboards to clean. I've got kids that need to be picked up at school and a dinner to cook and friends coming that I don't even want to see. And I sure don't want to stop to pray, but oh God, I don't want to miss this opportunity. Please teach me how to pray. Teach me how to want to pray. Because I don't. It's boring. Teach me that it won't be boring. Do you hear that? Be honest with the maker of the universe. Our scripture, 1 John 5:14, says we had this confidence. Do you know what that Greek word means? It means freedom to speak all that you think or please. We have the freedom to say all that we think or please to God, and He will hear us. Don't try to impress God. No fancy words are necessary. In fact, Matthew 6:8 says, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Just be yourself, just like you would talk to anyone else. Do you know what one of my first prayers was? I was a lustful woman. I lusted after men. Couldn't get enough of them. And I wanted to love God. I figured in my mind, you know what? If I loved you like I love men, wow, my life would be totally, I'd be seeking you all day instead of men all day. I'd be seeking your attention rather than the attention of men. Do you know what my first prayer was? One of my first prayers is, I didn't know any better. You know what I said? I said, Lord, I want to lust after you. And really, that's actually a good prayer. I just want to crave you. I just want to have an insatiable appetite for you. And He answered that prayer. That's according to His will. Do you see that? Ladies, that is so powerful. And there's no procedures. Ladies, there are no procedures. You can walk and talk to God. You can kneel and talk to God. And ladies, can I just make one recommendation? Please, at some point during this retreat, would you kneel? That is a very powerful thing, and I suggest at least at some point alone that you kneel before God. It really puts in perspective, you're the creature. He is the creator. Powerful prayers are prayed with kneeling. You can pray with or without quiet. You can talk to God all the time. You can write your prayers out. Some of you may want to do that. You've got some notebooks there. Just if you're not familiar with praying, you may just want to write, Dear God, write a Dear God letter. And just talk to Him. Tell Him what's on your heart. You can say a few words or you can say a lot. You can even pray on the pot. I'm serious. You can pray in your car. You can pray in a bar. Don't y'all? You think I'm really clever with this rhyming, don't you? But honestly, you can pray anytime, anywhere. But we all do long, I think, or at least I do for special things. And this spring, my son moved out of the house. He was 26. It was about time. And he graduated, and I got his room. I have an office now, and I painted it a favorite color, and I have a desk, and I have a chair, and I put a little candle in there. I can't even tell. I got a computer of my own I don't have to share with my husband. Life got really good. It was wonderful. It was just wonderful. I could close the door of that room, and I was separate with God. It's been the most incredible thing. I've had incredible times of prayer with God this year, this spring, in that room, and I'll tell you more about that later. But we got to Colorado in the end of May, and for about the next 6 weeks, we were so busy, and we ended up having to go back to Texas, and life was busy, and I didn't have my special prayer times. It was just too busy. And secondly, in our house in Colorado, there's not a place where I can go privately and kind of, you know, close the door and be alone. I'm with my husband all the time. So about 6 weeks had passed, and I hadn't had my quiet time like I like it, and I hadn't even gotten in the Word that much, and I was suffering. I was suffering so badly to have my quiet time, and I was praying and talking to God. And I said, God, I really miss our special times together. I really miss that. And it was as if God spoke back to me. And He said, no, Debbie, you don't miss me. You miss your special time. You miss your special room. You miss your special candle and your special chair. But Debbie, I've been here for 6 weeks, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I've been here. I have gone nowhere. I'm still with you. I was with you in that room, but I have been with you ever since. I have not left you. You could have prayed and talked to me anytime you wanted to. I was here. I was waiting. Do you see my point? It doesn't take a candle. It doesn't take a special chair or a special room or a special time. He wants to talk to you. Isn't that the way you are about your girlfriend? Does it have to be a special moment or a special time? No. If you're married, was your relationship with your husband built just over candlelit dinners? No. Absolutely. It was the good times and the bad times and the hard times and the poor times and the rich. It was just built day in and day out. And that's what God wants with us. And it's built through prayer, constant dialogue with God. Don't get caught up in the procedure, get caught up in the person. Don't get caught up in the procedure, get caught up in the person and pray that prayer. Lord, I want to get caught up in you. Isaiah 29:13 said, these people approach me with their mouths to honor me with lip service, yet their hearts are far from me. And their worship consists of man-made rules learned by rote. Do you have a routine with God that you pray? He's not impressed. Do you do the lip service, but your heart is far from him? He will hear you if you pray according to his will. And ladies, that's what I want for this session. I wanted it to be more of a who to rather than a how to. I wanted you to go away this session thinking of the who, not the how. I wanted to concentrate on God and his attributes and who he is and how much he loves you so that you will long to talk to the one who loves you. I've told you some about me, and you know about my life. You probably have heard that my parents were both alcoholics and I was an only child, and I don't have a lot of memories of my daddy. I just don't. I remember a couple of things. He was about 6'3", and he had black hair, and he had the most gorgeous smile that you've ever seen. If he smiled, he lit up the room. He just lit up the room. I thought he was the most handsome, most beautiful, funniest person in the universe. But that didn't happen a lot, because when someone is an alcoholic, there's more screaming and hollering and depression than there is that beautiful smile. So all of that kind of overshadowed the beautiful things about my daddy. And I don't have but about two intimate things that I remember about my daddy that were personal for me. I kind of remember them generically. My dad was tall and he was handsome. I can't say but two things that I remember specifically that happened, a connection between he and I. So I'm going to tell you what they both are. One was August 9th, 1963. It was a Friday. I was 11 years old, and we had just gotten word that my grandfather in Tyler was dying. So the family called and said, get here quick, he is dying. So we jumped in the car, and we drove to Tyler. And so we were on the outskirts of Tyler, and we stopped at a stop sign. I'm sitting behind my daddy in the car. And just, you know, out of just kind of an automatic reaction, I looked to the left, I didn't see any cars, and I looked to the right, I didn't see any cars, and daddy didn't go. So I thought, well, I missed something. So I looked to the left, I looked to the right, and there were still no cars coming, so I looked in the rearview mirror, puzzled, wondering, why isn't he going? And he was looking back at me. I see his face right now, looking back at me in the mirror. And I said, what? And he smiled that beautiful smile, and he said, nothing. I'm just looking at my beautiful little girl. I will never forget that. And then we spent all weekend at the hospital, and on Monday, August the 12th, we'd been at the hospital all day long. We got home in the afternoon, and my daddy was supposed to be there. He arranged his work schedule to be near Tyler for that particular week so he could be close to us and be with us. And he didn't come home. And my mother was a frantic person. Anybody had their mother like that? She literally would just wring her hands like this, just, you know, and she was walking, just pacing the floors, just, she was just so worried that David wasn't home, just, where is he? And it just mounted. I mean, it escalated minute after minute. It just got worse and worse and worse. And she became convinced that he was dead. So she called the highway patrol, trying to find out, you know, has there been an accident? She called all the hospitals she could think of. Has there been somebody admitted there that maybe is dead or dying? And then she started making a list of the pallbearers. She was convinced he was dead. And then she started making a list of who she would call when she got the news that he was dead. And so this went on for about 6 hours. And about 10 o'clock at night, the headlights come into that driveway. And it was my daddy. We thought he was dead, and my daddy was home. He got out of the car, and we went rushing outside, and we just enveloped him, you know, and hugged him and kissed him, and my mother is sobbing, and I'm crying, and we're just all hugging him. He's going, what has happened to y'all? What is wrong? What is wrong? And mother said, I just thought you were dead, and now he said, I'm not dead. And she said, but I thought you were dead, and I'm so glad you're home. And we were all crying. It was just wonderful homecoming. So the next morning, I'm asleep, And it had been a long day at the hospital and then this late night and all this frantic worry. And I was asleep and my daddy walked into the room. Have you ever been asleep and you kind of wake up but you really don't want to wake up? And you look through your eyelashes? Have you ever done that? Because you don't really want that person to know you're awake. But you kind of want to see what they're doing. So I was looking through my eyelashes at daddy. And I can see it just totally clear. I see his form walking through that bedroom. And he walked over to me. And I'm looking at my eyelashes. And he kissed me. And he said, "Debbie, I love you." And that's the second memory I have that's really personal. And that little voice in my head said, "Wake up, Debbie. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. Hug him. Tell him you love him." But I wanted to sleep more than I wanted to do that. And I can still see him walking out of the room, just his back in his suit. And my daddy was supposed to spend the night in a hotel that night so my mother wouldn't worry. That night, about 9 o'clock, and we weren't expecting daddy, there was a knock on the back door, and we opened the door, and my two uncles and my two aunts are standing there, and they're crying, and they can't talk. And they came in the house, and my mother immediately went to my grandmother. And she's sobbing. She's saying, "Mama, Mama, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry," because we think it's my grandfather, my big daddy, as we call him. And my uncle couldn't talk. And finally he said, "Weeda," that was my mother's name, "Weeda, Weeda, it's not daddy, it's David. My daddy was dead." He came home to surprise her. And on his way home, he was killed by a drunk driver. You know what happened at that moment in my life? And it never stopped. There was this yearning inside of me. "Daddy, please love me. Please love me. Please love me. Please love me. I just wanted to be loved." And I spent the rest of my life seeking that out from men, from jobs, from money, from looks, from success, from having it all. And all is never enough. I just wanted to be loved. Now, why did I tell you that? Ladies, there is a yearning in every single one of your hearts for your daddy to love you. Most of you did not have it. If you don't know that, can I tell you a secret? Most women did not have that. You are relating to me because you didn't have it. And you have desperately sought it. You just long to be loved and accepted and taken care of. And it has never happened for you. Or you are relating to me because you did have it. You are one of the very few. You had it. You enjoyed it, and you're crying with joy because you know you had something most women will never, ever experience from a father or a husband. Why do you think that yearning is there and we're all the same? It is because, listen to me now, listen to me. Please, please put your wookers on. Please put your heart wookers on. That yearning is there in you because God put it there. It is not there because your father was miserable and did awful things to you or died early like mine did. That's not why that yearning is there. That's not why you're miserable. It is put there by the God of the universe because he is the only one that can fill that emptiness in your heart. He longs to be your daddy, your source, the love of your life. That is why you constantly yearn for that. And you never find it because you were looking for it in all the wrong places. Do you have your wookers on? You've got to see the love of God. I want you to stop looking for that love in all the wrong places. Stop yearning for what you did not have and will never have. You will not find it in money. You will not find it in men. You will not find it in husband after husband. You won't find it. But you will find it in the God of the universe who loves you. That is what you were made for, is to love him back, to respond to the maker of the universe as your daddy. And I know some of you have tapes and playing in your head. In scenarios that were very horrible and painful in your life. And I am so sorry, but I want you to stop them. Stop those voices. Stop those tapes. And please listen to new words, to the word of God, who loves you, who wants you to be secure, who wants to be in a personal, loving, inseparable relationship with you. And you see that no other place better than in prayer, where you know that you are loved, you know that you love him, and you know that he hears you. I want you to run to him in prayer. And ladies, some of you can't call him daddy. You can't run to him in prayer tonight and say daddy, because you've never accepted him as your father. You've never accepted him. Do you want to be adopted? Do you want to be adopted tonight? Do you want to be a daddy's girl? Have you always wanted to be a daddy's girl? Your father loved you enough to die for you. Have you accepted him? Ladies, there's some of you that may not have accepted Jesus as your Savior. Tonight's the night to be adopted, to have the true Father you have always yearned for. Don't you dare be like me and hear what I'm saying and hear how much God loves you and look at him and pretend you're asleep. Don't you dare look at him tonight as he walks into your heart through your eyelashes of your mind. Don't do that. You run to him. You run to him in prayer. You run to him for salvation. Are you hearing me? I just couldn't possibly say it enough. Ladies, hear me. If you've never accepted him as your Savior, it's really simple. Ladies, going to church does not make you a Christian. Going to church does not make you a Christian any more than being in a garage will make you a car. Being a Christian, it is accepting him by faith. You could dress up every single day in a white dress and get some flowers and get a beautiful big 6-carat diamond on your finger and walk down the aisle every single day, but that will not make you a bride. It will just make you stupid. Ladies, this is the night to say, Lord, I accept you. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to do anything special. You don't have to go to a special church or say special words. It's just an acknowledgement saying, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize that I will be eternally separated from you through death, and I accept you. You died in my place, and now I accept you as my Savior, as my Father. I accept you. That's all it takes. If anybody would like to pray that prayer, if you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart, that this is the time to do that. So I'm going to just ask that every head be bowed and every eye be closed, and if you've never accepted Christ, you can do that now. There are no special words, but if you would like to repeat after me and silently in your mind, you can do that. But you can pray any words you want to. Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I am doomed to eternal separation from you. But I also realize that you loved me enough to die for me personally. And you want to come and live in my life. And so I ask you to do that. And I believe by faith that you will live in my heart forever. Father, I thank you for adopting me. I thank you for giving me a new name. I thank you for giving me a new nature. And I accept you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies, if you've prayed that prayer for the first time, and you only need to pray it once, by the way, that is not an ongoing thing. It's just like a child. Once he gives birth to you through faith, it's a done deal. But if you've done that, you're a new creature in Christ. You're a new creature. The old things are gone and the new things have come. And that is my prayer, is that those of us that have accepted Christ will learn this weekend to walk in that new life, to draw from our resources of our Father, the God of the universe, who has more than we ever asked or imagined and is able to do it. That is my prayer, is that we will walk in our new nature. Ladies, what we're going to do next is in your binders, there are some directions. But first, I want to tell you something. You will only get out of this weekend what you put into it. If you came here simply to be a spectator, you will not leave with much. And if that pleases you and you didn't come for much, that's fine. No one will force you to do anything. But ladies, if you want more, if you have longed for more all of your life, you can have that. By talking with the maker of the universe. So you will get out of this only what you put into it. It's not Debbie speaking, it is you speaking to God. That is why we're here. It is not to hear me, it is for you to hear God. God is willing and desiring to hear you. if you are willing to talk to him. And girlfriends, I want to say something to you. Would you please let God be God? Girlfriends, please let God be God this weekend. Some of you may not want what God is offering to you this weekend, and that is fine. I'm not condemning that. I don't recommend it, but you're welcome to do that. But your girlfriend may want something deep and personal and different. Leave her alone. Please, I'm begging you for that. And girlfriends, if you're wanting it and your girlfriend isn't, please have the courage, have the freedom to say, gotta get with you later. I gotta meet with God. You can't do anything more important. You will have time for your girlfriends. There will be plenty of time to play. But ladies, don't miss your opportunity to be with God. There are too many women here. We've got crowded rooms. So you will only be with God if you make time for God. By the way, you don't get time to pray. You make time to pray. Ladies, I've got a couple of other tips. If you wake up in the middle of the night, I want you to think of this differently. I want you to not see that as an interruption. I always hate to awake in the middle of the night. It irritates me. But I don't want you to see that as an interruption. I want you to see that as an invitation. I want you to see it just as if God walked into your room, kind of like my daddy did, and tapped you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, darling, would you talk to me? Can we talk?" Would you just, even if you just stay laying down, maybe you want to kneel, maybe you want to sit up, I don't know, but if you are interrupted, would you consider that an invitation and answer it? Say, "Lord, I'm here. I'll talk to you if you want to talk to me." I want you to do another thing. In fact, I recommend doing this all the time. Ask him, "Lord, would you please let you be the first thing on my mind when I wake up and the last thing that's on my mind when I go to sleep?" And I never prayed it again. And every time I open my eyes in the morning, I say, "Good morning, Lord. Good morning." That doesn't make me special. I'm just telling you, that's how desperately I crave the Lord. Doesn't make me your standard. I'm not trying to set myself up as in, "You too should be like me." I'm just sharing some tips with you of things that have really ministered to me and changed me by prayer. So if you are interested in that, it is amazing to have him be your first thought in the morning and your last thought at night. I remember a really powerful thing. My husband, I thought, was dying. He had 2 blood clots, and I honestly did not know if he would die or live. And I went to bed. I left the hospital. I had to get just a little sleep. And my last prayer was, "Lord," and this is the honest truth, I said, "Lord, I don't know if I will wake up a wife or a widow in the morning. But what I do know is that you will be there for me, and that I can trust you, and that you will love me now, and you will love me then. And it will all be okay." That's true. That's power. Do you realize what power that is? That is power, ladies. C.S. Lewis said, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back and listening to that other voice, taking the other point of view, letting the other, larger, stronger, quieter voice come flowing in." Ladies, listen. Put your wookers on, and you will see the Lord. You will hear the Lord this weekend. For some of you, this may take spiritual spoon feeding. Earthly hunger, human hunger, goes this way. The less you eat, the more hungry you become. The less you eat, the more hungry you become. And once you eat, then you are satisfied, and you don't eat as much. But spiritual hunger is different. The less you eat, or partake of the Lord, or learn of the Lord, or pray to the Lord, or get in his word, the less you want. You don't get hungrier for him. You get less hungry for him. And the more you partake of him, the more you pray, and the more you get in his word, the less satisfied you are. The more you want. And so for some of you who have not prayed and who have not been in his word, you're just going to have to sit yourself down and force feed yourself. You know, kind of get yourself by the scruff of the neck and say, "You're going to sit here and you're going to pray and you're going to seek him." If it's the last thing you do, you're not getting up from that chair until you pray. You may have to force feed yourself to do this. I just want to end in prayer. Lord, I am begging you, I'm pleading with you that every woman here would seek you in her heart. that you would make noisy, crowded rooms just disappear for the women here, that they would seek to be alone with you and they would feel your presence even in the most crowded room. And Lord, I don't have words powerful enough to accomplish that, but your Spirit does, and I am asking that you would meet with every single woman here, that you would communicate with them, and I'm asking that not one single woman leave here not knowing you as her Savior. And Father, I just ask this in the most precious name of Jesus.